Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome. You have found us. It's Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista.
Good evening.
You have found us on Cooking Like a Pro. Cooking Like a Pro, KCNR 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. If you'd like to give us a call down here, our engineer Ben would be happy to either take your question or put you on the air. Either one works.
But indeed.
There you go. And that number is 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. So today we were going to take a trip back into time with you. Okay. So it's kind of like we used to do something at my first restaurant, Di Mercurio's. We called it Skip the Trip. So basically you were like, we'd go somewhere, but without going there, we would provide all of those kind of, meals and meal choices for you. So what we're going to save you about, I don't know, maybe a 10-hour, 12-hour round trip, because I took my bride down to, Monterey this, our wedding anniversary was,
happy anniversary.
Again. Yep. Was
18 years.
It was on the 18th, was 18th year, and that was on, this past Monday. So we, just figured out a way to work it in and took off down to Monterey. There's a couple things that, that I wanted to do down there. We'll be going over those, but just a wonderful trip, a wonderful trip. I love to go out and venture, especially into places where there are areas where you get a lot of traffic from other places in the, around the world.
Very much so.
And I thought that's always cool. Me and Chris have this game we play where, we hear people talking, try to figure out where they're from, and then just ask them and see who's right, see who's closest. You know, it sounds European to me, you know that.
I won the first bet.
Yeah.
Germany. Yeah. We met a couple from Germany.
Yep. Yeah.
There was also a family from Australia, another couple from France.
Yeah, when
your entire world was in Monterey.
Yeah. Well, we happened to be at a place called the Victorian Inn. Hotel that a friend of mine owns.
And little boutique hotel.
Yeah, a little small boutique. I don't know how many rooms, but it was real nice. Had like a little wine and cheese breakfast, you know, area for a continental breakfast, which everything was very nice. But it was nice really being treated. It's kind of the reason, you know, and our anniversaries or birthdays roll around, and nothing against restaurants, of course, obviously in the area, but you know, sometimes, especially as a chef, you just don't want to cook on that one day. And I love to cook. I love to cook definitely on holidays and stuff when we bring families together. But sometimes you just want to take a break. And if you're not, you know, and a lot of people leave the area. That's why we used to tell them to skip the trip and we will do all, you know, food from Australia for you.
We're going to give you the details. If you do not want to skip the trip, if you want to go, we can tell you where to go. And
yeah.
I found it so fascinating. I have not experienced this in 20 years. Showing up to the hotel, you check in, and then you have a wine and cheese reception. I have only had that once another time, and it was at the Victorian Inn in Ferndale. 20 years ago. Have you ever experienced that? You've traveled way more than I have.
Oh, yeah. It's a general thing that they'll have, like kind of like during happy hour, they'll just have some cheese and wine. And it was really nice. They had a beautiful smoked Gouda. They had a really sharp, nice sharp cheddar, variety of crackers, and also some fruit that was available there. And it was just nice to just sit and relax.
After driving for 5.5 hours?
Yes. And, have a glass of wine. And they had a nice white and a nice red that were there. This Les Fitch, F-I-T-C-H.
Les Fitch from Sonoma.
Yeah, that was Sonoma. And real nice. And again, it's just like you get there, you carry all your stuff up. We've all been there before. And it's like, okay, we're here. Now you got to start making decisions. I mean, you you know, you have the expense of everything, including taking time away and travel and such, and you're just kind of weary from the road. So yeah, the little, you know, happy hour area was nice. And again, as we started off, speaking about the people, they were just, didn't hear English seem like a second language. It was really cool. And I always enjoy that. And I have found that, more often than not, in fact, very seldom do people really have a problem just kind of, yeah, we're from here. And the next thing you know, you've got, you know, two new friends and you're exchanging business cards.
We did talk to a couple American couples. They were celebrating their like 36th wedding anniversary. One of them was from Hayward, just right up the road. I'm like, okay, you're a local.
But anyway, we had a lot of fun, especially when you run into people and they'll ask you where you're from and you say, you know, Northern California. For most people, Northern California is like, you know, San Francisco.
The Bay Area.
San Francisco is considered Northern California.
No, we're way northern.
Yeah. I generally tell people, well, we're right on the border, right by a place called Oregon. But, I definitely really enjoyed it. And then afterwards, we skedaddled off to a place, found a place with, I don't know what kind of music. I thought it was, we were going to a place that was jazz, but that wasn't jazz music. That was something that I couldn't understand.
No, it was an English pub, but they had a traveling band that was in from Hawaii. They do kind of an island reggae vibe. They're called Coloso Band, and they were in town on a tour up and down the West Coast.
Yeah, Coloso, C-O-L-O-S-O, Collection of Lone Soul. What is that word?
Soldiers.
Okay.
Instead of soldiers, it's soldiers.
Like a soldier, yes. But spelled with weird. Okay. Well, they were great. They were one of those bands that were, they were all kind of mimicking each other. And
they had horns.
And their steps, you know, back left, right, left, right. And then they were fun. And we kind of caught a little bit of the tail end of it, but a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I got a souvenir hat. So, the salty seal, that's what it was, the brew pub we went to had a really nice, pork belly. I always enjoy pork belly when I see it.
This was a sticky bourbon pork
yeah,
belly.
Yeah, you almost taste more of the sauce than the pork on something like that. But it was good. It was good. It was served with these things called puzzle potatoes. So it's kind of like pieces of kind of like spell. It was like spelling your name in alphabet soup or something.
Yeah. So they called them tater tots, but I looked them up. I found them online. They're called a puzzle potato. They're like in Z's and L's. They're like little puzzle pieces you're supposed to stack, but they're not ground like a tater tot you would think of kind of loosely. And they weren't as fine ground as like a mashed potato. They were somewhere in between.
Well, they're nice and crisp, and I think that's what you need. Kind of similar to what you would find on a tater tot breading. Something like that. We used to bread those, and sometimes you can bread them. You know, one actually really nice thing to bread potatoes with, if you're making like potato pancakes, or you could even be making crab cakes or something like that. But it is just literally just the dehydrated potatoes.
Yeah.
Just get a dehydrated potato, and we've talked about the method of breading before, where you go from dry, wet, dry meaning generally like a flour or something fine, to wet. Egg wash, buttermilk, whatever, that's going to be, for your second. It's going to make it moist, and then making sure you coat it well so it doesn't fall apart. And we did that with the eggplant the other day. It was me showing my wife how to do eggplant, and she likes it now. She had never had it other than mushy before. And then the last breading is dry. And the thing about the potatoes is they're very similar to the panko in kind of their shape.
Potato buds.
Yeah. And the great thing about that is, when you're frying and you want to fry quick, you want to have something where your protein isn't just, you know, basting down, soaking in the oil. You want it to be, a little bit, you know, have a little bit of air in there. So when you fry it, you get something that's, crisp. That's the whole idea about.
And I gotta say, they dropped that order of appetizers so fast, it was at our table, I think, in just like 2 minutes.
Yeah, and then of course, fish and chips. I mean, you're on the ocean, can't really.
Yep, they have a beer battered cod.
Uh huh.
Yeah. And then we had wedge potatoes with that.
Yeah, so that was good. And you usually drink a heavier beer. You had a, she's more of a, not the beer drinker.
You brought me a tester for a porter, and it was excellent in my, it's called a Black Prince Porter. It has kind of a lot of chocolate notes to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, I'm more, you know, a little IPA and in there. But Chris says she'll go, if there's a dark beer or it has some sweeter components to it, she'll go for that too. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break and then we'll be coming right back again. Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Cal and Chef Krista. You've found us here at KCNR 1400 AM. Back in just a moment.
Hey, just an electrician finishing up a late night repair at this firehouse. Oh. Most of the firefighters are asleep, but if there's a call, at least three of them will be on each truck in minutes. Yeah, I guess the law says three on board or they can't enter a burning building until other trucks arrive. Isn't that a matter of life or death? And I'm told we had that problem in Reading until full-time councilman Mark Mazzano pushed hard to get three firefighters on every truck and also to buy land for our ninth fire station to better service all. He even led the way to rebuild the Reading Police Department, and now we've got the most sworn personnel in its history. Yeah, full-time councilman can make a huge difference. Just this year, he got a Cal City's presidential appointment to the statewide Public Safety Committee. So come on, re-elect Mark Mazzano to the Reading City Council. You know, like the girl on the radio sings,
"Go with Mazzano."
Ad paid for by Mark Mazzano for Reading City Council 2024.
Turtle Bay's 18th annual fall plant sale is happening Saturday, October 5th at the Turtle Bay Garden Nursery, located at 1100 Arboretum Drive near the west entrance of the McConnell Arboretum and Botanical Gardens. Turtle Bay's fall plant sale features California natives and drought-tolerant plants, propagated on-site and acclimated to our climate. All plants are 30% off for Turtle Bay members and 20% off for the public on Saturday, October 5th. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Welcome back. Cooking Like a Pro again with Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef. And we are recounting what was just actually just a couple of days ago.
We just got back yesterday afternoon.
It seems like a little further back than that. But anyway, on our anniversary, we were down in Monterey. Just a beautiful place. Been there a number of times. We will get to the Peace de Resistance, which was the reason why I went down there as we move along here.
But we woke up to sunshine and perfect weather with a heat wave.
Oh, yeah. It was like 72 or something.
A heat wave of 72.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, coming back wasn't a lot of fun, you know, because you're driving with your air conditioning and then you open the door.
It's 104.
Yeah. Or anyway, it was warm. But anyway, get up in the morning again. Just a wonderful, beautiful place. I love these places where they have, you know, a continental breakfast. You can get up in the morning. You don't have to search for something. You know, a place you can just get a nice, you know, nice, beautiful cup of coffee, or actually the coffee in your room as well. Beautiful suite. It was three stories, and Monterey's pretty much the whole thing's on hillsides. So we had a beautiful view of the ocean as well, and got up, they had an omelet station and some sausage and, you know, that kind of stuff. Make your own waffle, which I did get to show a lot of.
You showed a lot of people how to make waffles.
Well, again, it was by far more people from other countries, and I happen to know a lot about waffles, waffle makers. Matter of fact, as much as the people that make them, because I did actually work with the people that make waffle irons when I was a corporate chef for a local restaurant. It used to be local, now it's spread out. It's called Black Bear Diner, and it's, you know, to know that it's weird. A waffle iron has these secret buttons on it that you can't tell where they are. And you do that because cooks will come in and say, oh, the waffles aren't cooking fast enough. They'll turn it up, and then they'll start burning, so they'll turn them down. So there's a way of being able to lock a waffle iron into not being able to change the time. So that's the only reason that I knew so much about it. You know, so I was kind of giving a tutorial to several people in there as they're click. You just fill the batter in the cup, you put it on there, you flip it over, but it, you know, for, again, it's for someone that's never seen it and done it. You have to kind of, you know, it's like bringing ice cream to natives down in the Amazon. You know,
that was one of my first wedding presents from you, was one of those waffle irons, the Belgian ones that you close and you rotate. I had never seen one before, and that was one of your presents to me.
Yeah, well, so it was, but it was a great breakfast. And leaving there, we actually, of course, where else would we go as, you know, budding chefs or whatever you want to.
Well, first off, we had to go find you a tie. That's why we headed out.
Yes.
To find you a tie, because we've packed everything except that. So we went shopping.
Didn't pack a tie. I have to have a tie to go to the restaurant I was going to. So
but on the way to the tie shop.
Yeah, we have, we've seen a sign, of course, restaurant.
Supply.
Restaurant supplies. But it was more of a like a boutique, but then it also opened up to literally being something where you'd go if you were going to open up a restaurant.
Yeah, it was floors, multiple rooms.
It looked just like my shed at home. I mean, it was just stuff all, there's stacks of stuff everywhere. But the front of it was very boutique and has some really cool stuff. It had, you know, I've often thought that I should, you know, invent some things that make things easier in the kitchen. I've thought about that for forever now, for decades. Never really went through with it and did it. I did some of that for, you know, for other, in other areas per, just before myself, but never having to go out and get something trademarked and go from there. But man, there's a gadget for everything. I did kind of give up looking around thinking, I don't know that there's any, not that they always work. Matter of fact, we've got tons of things that we bought in the past, little kitchen gadgets that says, oh, this is the perfect thing for cutting your avocado, you know.
Well, I did buy you one from the Goodwill the other day, and we're going to see if it works. It was a pomegranate.
Yeah, the pomegranates are almost ready. We must have about 300 pomegranates.
But I did not see one down at the restaurant supplies. But what did you find?
Yeah, well, we found a bunch of stuff. I'm lucky we were in a hurry because I would have filled up a grocery cart, but we really just did get a couple things. One, both of them personal, the gnocchi board, of course, as an Italian, you always have to have a gnocchi board. That was nice. And then, Chef Charlie Trotter, who left us too early a number of years ago. There was a cookbook there.
One of the few that you don't have, and it's not even being sold anymore.
No, but it's the only book I have of his that he didn't sign for me. You know, that, and so, you know, I sat out on the little patio that we had overlooking the ocean while Krista was taking a little nap and got a chance to go through it. And it's just reminiscing. I look at cookbooks, generally I look for the picture. I like to look at the pictures. And as I'm writing a cookbook, I'm seeing, well, there's an awful lot there besides the pictures. But it was a great book. So I really enjoyed that and actually found a used knife, too.
Yeah, as you were checking out, I went towards the back of the store. She goes, you know there's more rooms, right? And I went, she says, let me come back and turn the lights
on
for you.
There's like eight more rooms.
She just kept turning on lights and turning on lights, and they kept going back, and they kept going up, and there's a whole other floor.
Bakery section and this and that.
But then they had a used section for a lot of older used equipment.
Yeah, and they had a chef knife on there. It's actually like a butcher's knife.
It was a fillet knife, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just really thin. It was really worn down, and I have one myself. I had one that broke a number of years ago. But you work a knife down, and you get it super, super thin. And I don't know why they don't just sell them that way. But this is one that I can clean up, sharpen up, give it a little bleach, and, you know, probably I'm sure it's got a couple of decades on it. I don't know. It was more of a personal thing, I guess, than anything. But, that was fun, and we went to a European market. Which was right across the street, and that was fun because very few things were in there that were actually in English.
Except the Nutella. The Nutella was.
Yeah, Nutella. Yeah. Well, Nutella, the word probably isn't, yeah. We got a variety of things. I wanted to find something from Romania because I have some dear friends that I had gone there with a couple of times decades ago, and it was they had a few Romanian things. We got that. We got some.
You got the Romanian zakuska, which is a roasted red pepper relish with eggplant, tomatoes, and onions.
Yeah, and then pickled red peppers, kind of similar to what. I was looking for a pepadou, and they didn't have pepadous. I like it, but this is similar to their version of a pepadou.
It was a sweet pickled, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got some lemon candies. I think you got some plums from Poland. And
yeah, Poland makes chocolate-covered plums. Apparently, it's becoming their specialty. It was designed by an Australian chef that moved to Poland, and because they have these really specialty plums in one of their regions, he developed these chocolate-covered plums. And it's coming on the culinary scene as kind of the new thing to try.
There's a lot of new things to try. I'll see when I try one. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But we haven't got a chance to try those yet. But we did go to a Taste of Monterey. I would definitely recommend that. We've gone there maybe a decade and a half ago when Isaac was very small, but it was fun. We sat right out on the water. I mean, almost like, well, you were over the water, and we just sit there and watch the sea seals kind of, you know, meander around and play around out in the seaweed. I mean, there had to have been 100 of them, and seagulls flying over. And
guess what? If you want to see that view, you go to their website. They have the webcam, and you can see exactly where we were sitting, exactly what we were looking at.
Well, there you go.
Taste of Monterey. Just click on the webcam. Yeah.
And this was in the early afternoon. We didn't want to, ruin our dinner, but we wanted to get back and maybe get a little bit of rest before dinner that night. So we sat there, and we just had a couple of appetizers. Those were very nice. Enjoyed that with some almonds.
Some warm spiced almonds with brown sugar, cayenne, and thyme.
Uh-huh.
And then some olives with, still had the pits in them, with some fennel and citrus.
Yeah, everything's better with the pits in it. You get more flavor that way, and they also, when they cure, because when you cure olives, you soak them in a lye solution. And it can sometimes be a lye/brine. Usually the brine, when we always did it, was afterwards. But that's just to tenderize them, to get the actual olive ripe from the exterior of the olive all the way to the actual pit. And you want it to get soft, and you want to remove the bitterness. To take an olive and eat it off the tree would be, it wouldn't be anything fun about it, put it that way. So you got to get them soft, and you got to get them pliable where they'll take that brine, they'll take that flavoring if you want to add garlic or anything along those lines. I enjoyed that. And we each had
a different flight. I had a white flight. Uh-huh. You had a red flight.
Yeah, so we had a flight of wine. So I always like to try things, of course. I'm much more of a trier. And we had a flight. Real nice. And the flights had these nice little round, little pieces of paper, maybe 3 by 6. And they had a little circle in each one with the wine glass sitting on there. And then it gave you the name of the wine and then some of the tasting notes. And you could write some notes on it yourself. So those are nice. I've seen those a couple times up in Napa. Not very often. But it's a great little trick, especially when you're tasting wines and you say, "Ooh, I like this one." Then you can make a note, so you know going back if you see that somewhere, or you go into a restaurant on a menu, or you see it at a store. It's like, "Oh yeah, I've had that, and I like that."
And now I have the piece of paper showing everything that we got.
Yeah. So we enjoyed that, and then also we had the brie. It was a triple cream.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a triple cream. It said it was triple cream, but it seemed more like a double to me. Yeah. You know, the creamier you got a brie, then you got a double cream, a triple cream, and as you get creamier, it gets creamier, and a triple cream is almost to the point where it's not peanut butter, but it's close as far as its consistency. It's just really soft and will run when you slice it. You can't put a little slice in it. It will just, you know.
And then with the brie, they have the roasted candied garlic.
Yeah, they had the roasted garlic on there, and then just some crostini with a little raspberry.
Yeah, it was a triple berry. I think they said blueberry,
blackberry.
Yeah.
Topping on it, which is nice. Anytime you're going to go with a brie, you're going to have something that has you know, brie, especially with the rind, it has a little bit of a, you know, bite or perhaps pungency to it. So it's always nice to have something sweet. In fact, it reminds me of an appetizer I put together decades ago, and I've used it throughout my whole culinary career, which is the raspberry Melba sauce with the roasted garlic and the brie cheese on a crostini. So a lot of fun, great flavors, and we enjoyed it. So we
didn't have lunch. We just had nuts and olives and brie and wine just to tie us over before we prepared for dinner.
Yep, and we'll be talking about dinner when we get back again. This is Cooking Like a Pro, KCNR, back in just a moment.
Bum to the booty, oh rude.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit SimpsonU.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
It's fall, y'all, and that means pumpkin flavors are here. Get on over to Black Bear Diner and get your fill of everyone's favorite sweet cream pancakes, drizzled with pumpkin pie sauce and topped with whipped cream and maple syrup. Visit Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Welcome back, welcome back. You found us, and we're still here, Cooking Like a Pro. And, you know, you can also go to cookinglikeapropodcast.net if you'd like to write a question in. Or you can go straight to our website, culinarilyyours.net. Yep, we got Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista here. And talking about our anniversary a couple of days ago, down in the Monterey Bay area, large bay. In fact, it was I brought my binoculars so I could kind of watch the boats and stuff from the while Chris was napping. That was my joy. That and going over my new Charlie Trotter book I found. But we did do something. Yeah, we did a lot of things. But that was very interesting. I would highly recommend this if you go down there. Plan on taking some time to do this. And it was at I thought we were actually tasting olives. It was olive oil though. It was Monterey's Tasty Olive. It said it was called an olive bar. So I just assumed we were eating olives. So I walk in there and we weren't. We were tasting olive oils, and I mean a lot. I did not stop to count.
They have over 70. I looked online. They have over 70.
And then the other thing I seen on the other side were these large casks with aged balsamic vinegars in them.
So I went to the olive oil, and he told me to pick out my portion, and then he went left and went up to the pick out the vinegar, because you can get little tasting portions, little bottles, that can nicely wrap up in little boxes and in tissue paper, some little gift boxes you can take home with different flavors.
And the thing that I thought was interesting, and they're all interesting, it was, you know, like, again, like picking, trying to pick out your favorite child or something when you're going through and you're trying all these different flavors, and this is similar to when we went through the restaurant supply place that had all these very interesting looking plates. One of the things that they trained us when we were competing was that you wanted a, you didn't want a plate, you never had any color on the plate. You never had any designs, that were color on the plate. Sometimes maybe a light, an interesting shape perhaps, but everything you wanted to have, bone white, and you know, the whiter it is, the more china, the more bone is in it. So that's the, that's why you pay more for it, because plates are white as opposed to the eggshell. But you we really look at the plate as being a canvas that you're you know, doing your artistry on. So you don't want the plate itself to take away from the food, but you also don't want to clutter the whole idea of the food up with a bunch of things off to the side, even though they may seem like they match. But anyway, so when I was looking at the plates, and the same thing when I was tasting these oils and tasting these aged balsamic vinegars, all I can do is think of foods that how I would use them. That's how my brain automatically goes to that. You know, so I'm saying, oh boy, roasted cod, and I would drizzle this, you know, and on. So that's kind of how I look at it.
I just poured each one and dipped my finger in it and tasted each one to see how it tasted.
Yeah, and I said, Krista, I said, well, each pick four. I could only narrow mine down to five.
All right, so I went in the infused. Now, I didn't realize this. There was fused olive oil and infused olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And they do fuse, so when they're doing the first crush for an extra virgin, the flavor will be fused in at the same time and crushed at the same time. But most of the ones we got were an infused, which is after it's crushed. Mm-hmm. These flavors are added. Mm-hmm. And I went with a Madagascar black pepper, a smoked olive wood, Tuscan herb, and cayenne.
Again, oils that, these aren't the kind of oils that you would generally, that I would generally use in making, you know, a dressing that was overly complicated with more than one or two, maybe three ingredients at the most. Anything more than that, you might as well just go with a vegetable oil. Again, we do want to stay away from seed oils, just because of all the things that are added into it. But no, there were some great oils that, I think it's, we're going to have a lot of fun experimenting with these. And if you've ever seen the process of making wine where grapes are placed in a large container with staves, wood around it, and then they just keep cranking it down, unless you got your fair maidens, you know, with their shoes off, jumping up and down. And this is how they can extract the juice from the grapes to make wine. Well, similar with olive oil. You can't do it by jumping up and down on them, but they can put those in a press, and then they just spin that, and they just press it. And when they press it, and they don't add, there's no heat involved in it. It's a simple press. That's called a cold press, and that's like an extra virgin. You know, you're not getting any impurities in something like that, because it's such a light press. And then they'll press it some more, and they'll get a different quality of product out of it. And then they'll do a final press on it, which that final press, usually if you buy something that says the word pomace on it, pomace oil, that means that's where you're getting down to that. And they have what's called the, I think it's called a mask. I'm trying to remember back ago, or a wort. That's that final product that's at the very, very bottom, and that's what they'll, you know, infuse and use in other types of oils, but you know, or applications. But not that the highest quality you get from the lighter press, and then the vinegars were just amazing. I got a white peach, and these are all aged, so it's an aged white peach, white balsamic vinegar. And then he had a Sicilian lemon white balsamic, an aged coconut white balsamic, a dark red apple, and an apricot.
A Blenheim apricot, which is a special California apricot.
Yeah, and these are all aged white balsamics. And they're just, again, I mean, if you wanted to cook a real nice, high quality, you know, item and keep it simple, where you would just do a nice sear or a roast or a poach on it, then this, you would just drizzle this on it and you're done. You're not having to make any sauce to accompany it. It's just beautiful. In a salad, get some really nice fresh greens and just drizzle some, because it's so packed and concentrated in flavor.
Well, and I'm looking forward to just a nice crusty sourdough dipped in olive oil and vinegar. Take a couple different flavors and mix them together and let's see what we get.
Well, you know, they have tastings of all kind. We had talked about the tasting earlier with the wines, but down there going to a vinegar tasting, I've never done that before. I've done olive oil tasting, you know, many times in the past, but I had never done the vinegar, and I thought it was just really cool. Very, very nice people. They were very, very helpful. Matter of fact, everywhere we went.
Yeah, everybody was nice everywhere. Hospitable and just wanted to help and bring you things and answer questions.
I almost forgot I was in California. It was people were that nice.
It was a little bit different world. And it was just within a 2-block radius from the hotel that we spent our entire, 48 hours.
Yeah. Oh, and people are nice in California too. It's just, a number of months ago, I took a trip back to Tennessee, to walk my daughter down the aisle, and everyone was just so nice there. And it's weird that when you get outside of an area where people are a little, frenzy. I mean, I'd like to use the excuse, like in California, you ask, somebody, how are you doing? And they say, what do you want? And I remember back in Tennessee, you say, how you doing? And man, you better have, like I said, time to see pictures of their grandkids and 20 minutes to talk. And anyway, it was just that kind of, and it was interesting because we were talking with a lot of people that spoke at least some, English, of course. And I thought that was fun. That was fun because they appreciate because they don't, they're speaking the language in a broken fashion, that people are kind of, taking time to talk with them and figure out what they're trying to say.
Yeah, the German couple that we met, they were talking about, they came from Germany, that was very frenzied where they came from, and everybody was just so nice here and relaxed and helpful. And
Well, Germany was, that was an easy one because I've been there so many times, but Germany was, but we were able to talk about places that we were, I stayed in a southeastern or southwestern corner down near the Rhine. It was a town called Schifferstadt, and they were from a town that was very close to that.
It wasn't too far away. We know where you went. Yeah. That's where we live.
But that was a different day, a different story. It was quite a while ago.
That was our kickoff.
Decades ago. And then I noticed that you did have a couple of other things here on that we passed over. So, now, Krista is very highly, she writes everything down. Everything. Plus, she doesn't forget it. Maybe that's why she doesn't forget.
I forgot about the brie. You remember the brie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we missed the brie. But you had the wines here. I know you had the Not Too Dry Flight. Was that Dosetto?
A Dosetto Rosé. Okay.
And then you had a Riesling and a Gewürztraminer. And I didn't get a chance to try the Gewürztraminer. It was a Hive and Honey.
Yeah, I finished that one off. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that one never made all the way to me. And then my highlight was a Reserve Meritage. A blending of wines that are noble. There are certain wines that are considered noble. They come from the Bordeaux area, your Cabernets and wines that fall into that category.
And Meritage wines have to actually be certified to have Meritage on the label.
Yeah, and a lot of people just think Meritage is a word that just means blended.
Yeah, it's not blended.
But no, it's not. There's specifics about that. What it is if you have it, like, for example, my wine was 73% Cabernet, and then 27%
Merlot.
So that the blend made 100%, but it was a blend. So a lot of times, what a winemaker will do is if they come up with they crush the grapes, they get the juice, they taste it, and then before they start putting the wine together and blending it, they know what they want it to end up being like. So if a Cabernet, because of the growing season or the varietal itself, had some sort of a challenge or came out, or maybe the opposite came out, really nice, and they want to blend it, and they're like, oh, well, this is a little bit hot, so let's just bring this down with some sweets. We're going to add some Merlot in there. So it's kind of, it's really recipe, you know, based, you know, when you get to that point.
And what I found interesting is that Meritage was a name that was created back in the 80s. It's merit and heritage brought together. It's Meritage. It was an actual name. There was a contest that they put together to come up with that name.
Very good. Well, you know, well, Krista is our
research.
She's in charge. She's in charge of research. So, you know, when it comes to Google, she'll always
well,
do.
Well, we're
it
sitting
a little
there
bit.
Watching the seagulls fly by, and what does Meritage mean?
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment after this final break, and we're going to be talking about our piece de resistance and the purposes for the trip down there. So go ahead and say, don't touch that dial, as they say, and Cooking Like a Pro back in just a moment.
Are you having any fun? What you getting out of living? Who cares for what you've got if you're not having any fun? Are you having any laughs?
Turtle Bay's 18th Annual Fall Plant Sale is happening Saturday, October 5th at the Turtle Bay Garden Nursery, located at 1100 Arboretum Drive near the west entrance of the McConnell Arboretum and Botanical Gardens. Turtle Bay's Fall Plant Sale features California natives and drought-tolerant plants propagated on-site and acclimated to our climate. All plants are 30% off for Turtle Bay members and 20% off for the public on Saturday, October 5th. Learn more at turtlebaynursery.org.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
It's time again for the Majestic Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Redding Rodeo Grounds with free admission for all ages. See the return of the beautiful dancers, the feel of the powerful drummers. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Redding Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Redding Rodeo Grounds. For information, call 530-225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter family, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Wildfire season is upon us. Being prepared saves lives. Develop and practice an evacuation plan with your household. Stay informed about local fire conditions and follow evacuation orders if issued. Know your evacuation zone. Go to ShastCom911.com. Click on Be Prepared, Know Your Zone. Type in your address and write it down in case of emergency. You can also sign up for Alert Shasta at ShastCom911.com.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Redding.
Is the night when the heavens are right on this lovely bed on order.
Well, welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us this afternoon. We appreciate this. We're coming up on 3 months of doing this. So,
I think we are starting our fourth month today.
There you go. Boy, it just flies by, doesn't it? Well, dinner flew by. I guess it went slow enough for me.
It was 3 hours.
Is that it?
Yeah. Maybe I think 3.5.
Well, the first 45 minutes of dinner, again, this is Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef, and you have found us on Cooking Like a Pro here on KCNR. And so we're talking about our trip for our anniversary down to Monterey, and the main reason for going there was to go to a restaurant that a friend of mine owns that's been there for
decades,
yeah. And it's called the Sardine Factory. So if you're into restaurants, or if you're just someone that knows about restaurants or knows about chefs, you would know this gentleman is Chef Bert Catino's dear friend. He sat down, we talked for 45 minutes, and it was just an amazing, amazing experience for me to be able to talk to, you know, one of my mentors, because so many of them have gone on, you know.
Yeah, he's 85 years old.
Bert's 85 years old, still still up and moving great, and we
still
just
running the business. He's involved in everything.
We really had a great time, and just the discussion of the way things used to be, I think, was interesting. Some of the discussions of the way things have evolved.
He's not just a chef. He is one of the certified master chefs. There's less than 70 in the entire world.
Yeah, he knows his stuff, and he's been around forever, for a long time. And anyone, again, that knows anyone would know Chef Bert is just an amazing man. We had a great meal. The Sardine Factory, again, world famous restaurant. We didn't get a chance to try the abalone soup, so I'm going to have to drive down
back
again
and do that.
Just to do that there. That's it there. They call it world famous because he served that. He made that dish for the inauguration for Ronald Reagan.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, when he was elected president. Just a great dish. But the main reason we probably didn't really get to much was the first course. I wanted to try some seafood. So they have this dish called chilled seafood indulgence. And it comes out to a two-tiered silver platter with, you know, a couple different levels on it. And it feels like it has the dried ice underneath, and then crushed ice, then all this display of seafood. There's like a, you know, wild Pacific prawns, or cracked Dungeness crab. They had a steamed Maine lobster tail on there. Oysters, a dozen oysters. I didn't eat all of them. I think you had one.
I had two.
Did you have two? Okay.
Had two. You finally got me to eat an oyster. The first one, I was like, I don't know. The second one, you put a sauce on. There's a mignonette sauce, which is a vinegar and shallot and black pepper sauce,
mm-hmm.
and then a cocktail sauce, and then you put a splash of lemon,
fresh lemon. Yeah.
And I enjoyed the second one.
Yeah. And that horseradish, I've never been a real horseradish fan, but this is one of the few times I'll eat horseradish, and it's just kind of a combination. So it's a combination of the four different accompaniments that you'll use on that. But those were great.
But you got to talk about what does it do when they bring it to the table. They set it in front of you.
Yeah, they dump the hot water on it. It's similar to what we did at Rivers Restaurant here in Reading when we built that up where the U202 is now. And you put dry ice underneath. And then when you pour hot water on it, so the whole thing, you get all of this smoke or this mist coming off, and it literally covers your table. You can see the tops of your wine glasses, that's about it, and then it dissipates. But it's just a great presentation, it's beautiful, you know, it takes you a while, it's a real conversation piece, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, everybody was looking at our table at that point.
Yeah, and then we were talking to the tables around us as well, and they were celebrating different things. It was celebrating an anniversary.
And a birthday.
And then they brought out the sorbet. Now, sorbet falls into a category that we call intermezzo. And an intermezzo is, it's that break you take during a ballet or opera.
Well, it means in between. So mezzo is medium. It means in between.
So it gives you a break to kind of to do basically sort of like what we call a mouth cleanser, you know, a palate cleanser. And this was pineapple, and it came out in a lit up an underlit swan made out of ice. So you had this basketball shape or maybe volleyball shape ice swan, and then in between the wings was the sorbet, and each bite of the sorbet. Now, if you've had pineapple, okay, great, you've had pineapple. If you've had pineapple that they call jet fresh, all that means is that it was jetted in, and usually that's coming from Hawaii, but it's still nothing like getting pineapple actually in Hawaii. There isn't any. So as far as being in a tropical place, this was the closest I've ever tasted to pineapple.
It was pure pineapple. Oh, yeah. Just melted. It was creamy and icy, but it just melted.
And it's, you know, it's like when you've had a well-made soup and maybe a tomato soup, and the every bite tastes like, you know, a whole vine of tomatoes. This actually was very authentically made, very, very nice made. It reminded me of my mom and dad went to Hawaii. This was a long time ago, and they had shipped me a pineapple. And I was living down south, and I put that pineapple in my apartment, and it sat there for a month. It was just like every time I walked into the house, It smelled like pineapple. It was just delicious. And but anyway, so I had lamb with a pistachio crust and had a raspberry port reduction on it. That was nicely done. And
I had a macadamia nut crusted Chilean sea bass with a orange ginger beurre blanc sauce, and then a potato tureen and some asparagus.
Yeah, it was well done. It was beautiful. It was
I picked it out
flavorful.
Before we even went. I knew exactly what I wanted before we got there.
Yeah. And then they sent us out another dried ice presentation, and it was we call them lollipops, ice cream lollipops,
and
cake lollipops.
Bonbon.
They call them bonbons, but it's just a long skewer with a round bulb of ice cream, a French vanilla ice cream that's been dipped in chocolate and then refroze. So,
and then you can roll it in nuts, and I think that was a
caramel.
Butterscotch, or was caramel?
Yeah, okay. Kind of a caramel butterscotch, kind of a, and so you're doing a little of the butterscotch, and you put it in with the nuts, and it was good. Again, it was a participate, you needed to participate.
It was very hands-on.
Yeah, you needed to participate. Hands-on is probably a better word. Hands-on. It was good.
Even though this place has a 64-page wine list, it's more like a book.
It's an encyclopedia.
And this is fine dining. Don't be intimidated by that. They do have a kids menu. They do have a bar area with a...
I'm not bringing my kids here.
Oh, I think we got to take Isaac for the abalone soup.
Let's wait till he gets 21.
All right. But they have different rooms. The place is kind of the Winchester Mystery House. They've got the original restaurant, and they just kept adding to it. And we were out in the...
atrium. Beautiful room. It was all skylit. The whole round ceiling was
all glass.
Supported by, looks like gold... framing and but it was really beautiful. Fountain in the center, it looked kind of like the Lorelei. If you've ever been on the Rhine River in South Germany, or you want to look it up, the Lorelei, wonderful tradition. There's a great story there. It's actually a really good story. I had always, when I came back from there the first time in '96, I thought, wow, I gotta get a name a restaurant Lorelei, because it was just really, really cool. But it's a cool story.
Yeah, so it was like sitting in a garden. Actually, I did not have wine with dinner. I had a mocktail.
A mocktail,
my
yes.
My mocktail had such amazing flavor. It was peach puree with grenadine and spritz in it, and I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, but sitting and talking with the chef was... It really got to me, actually.
we were both almost in tears.
Yeah,
it was
very emotional.
Very passionate.
To spend time speaking with someone that has that history, and the history comes out of just a love for people and a love for the profession, a love for everything restaurant. And he also owned several hotels. Well, he owned the hotel that we were staying in, the inn that we were staying
in. Yeah, the Inns of Monterey. Yeah. There's five boutique hotels.
So you get a chance, we highly recommend the Sardine Factory. Tell them Chef Cal sent you from Reading. And just plan on enjoying yourself. And again, you don't go there if you're in a hurry. You go there just to, plus you don't want, if you're going to spend that kind of money, then you definitely want to have fun. But then on the way home, we were down there, and someone said, "Oh, you got to go to Garlic World." So we went to Garlic World, and we got some things
in Gilroy.
There in Gilroy, of course, the garlic capital of the world. So everything garlic. I got some actually dehydrated garlic, which was really good.
It's smoke seasoned.
Yeah, and the one I got was barbecued, and then we had I got some. Yeah, I like spicy things, so I got some spicy Cajun green olives, and those were stuffed with garlic as well, and then some spicy garlic pickles. So haven't tried all those yet, but I'm getting used to it. Then, of course, we always like to hit Granizelli's, on the way up and back. That's almost more traditional now because it's gotten so expensive. But I remember every time we took an abalone trip, we would turn at Granizelli's there and head over to Fort Bragg and Elko, and that was just a family thing that we did up to the time where I got a restaurant, and then everybody went without me every year because my birthday's the end of June, which is the low side of the year. So
to finish off our weekend, we went the classic double-decker turkey sandwich, meat cut right off the breast. This wasn't you know, shaved deli meat. This was a real turkey breast. So we kind of ended with a classic sandwich.
Yeah, a classic sandwich, the classic clubhouse sandwich that we used to hate making in the restaurant because it was just a pain when you're back there cooking. You have to toast three pieces of bread and cut it on an angle and stick toothpicks in it. Yeah, the short order cooks don't really appreciate that. But anyway, that rounds out our week. And it was just a lot of fun. So
this will all be on the podcast. I will have links to all these different places if you want to put this itinerary for yourself.
Well, we appreciate you tuning in again to Cooking Like a Pro. God bless you and yours, and we will look forward to listening, having you listen to us next Wednesday here at KCNR.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.